Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci, the pips, the players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people that bust them and everybody else in between. And then there were two as the Super Bowl is set. San Francisco, California, the New England Patriots will take on the Seattle Seahawks. And of course, the last time these two teams played in the Super Bowl, it turned out to be an epic game and one of the wildest endings in Super Bowl history. The point spread opened up at 4.5. The point spread remains 4.5. So the market has settled in at 4.5. From what I get, there were some 3.5s popping around out there. Well, there were 3.5s before the games, right? There was the hypothetical Super Bowl lines that were posted that you could bet, right? You could bet them. So it was 3.5, and now it settles in at 4.5. It really hasn't moved. I'm not sure it will. I think it'll probably just sort of, you know, get stuck here. Maybe it goes down to 4. It seems like a lot of the early opinion is that Seattle are going to win this football game. Seattle are -230 on the money line as well. So they're trying to kind of scare you off of the money line and lay the points if you have to. Not really much controversy to talk about. Obviously, the weather affected the game in Denver, but New England just keeps finding a way to beat these teams. And, I don't know. Like, the Patriots have to have scored like the least amount of points to get to a Super Bowl before, because they really haven't done anything. But what they haven't done is lose. And that's all that matters, right? Like, doesn't matter how you look, what you do, how you do it, what happened. They're in the Super Bowl again. Meanwhile, you got a Seattle Seahawks team that were kind of an afterthought in the division after San Francisco and Los Angeles. They won 10 games last year, but people, like, you know, the Pacific Northwest, you get ignored. You don't get talked about, but I don't even think people in Seattle expected this. And it's wild how things can change and how quickly they can change, in that I went to a Seattle Seahawks game last year, and it was like, what? It was October. So it was like late October. I think it was November 1st, late October, because I went to the World Series game, and then I went to the baseball game, the baseball and football the same weekend. So it was World Series weekend. And I was like surrounded. There were Bill fans, but I was kind of in a section like with Seahawks fans. And they were miserable. Like, they hated the team. They were angry. They didn't like Geno Smith. They weren't big fans of McDonald. They weren't big fans of anything. They're like, this team sucks. And I remember I was more positive than they were, because I was sitting there and I was on the Bills, and they were mad after they lost, Seahawks fans. And I remember saying, you guys aren't as bad as you guys act, man. It's like, I said, the Bills are pretty good. Like, you guys act like you're a two-win team or something. They're like, this team sucks. The franchise sucks. That's why I sell my tickets now. And here they are a year later in the freaking Super Bowl. And a lot of people kind of rolled their eyes and laughed when they brought in Sam Darnold. Let's be real. Right. And it wasn't that Geno Smith wasn't good, but it was like, all right, you just knew McDonald wasn't his team. Right. DK Metcalf and Lockett and Geno Smith and these guys, they weren't his guys. Right. He inherited them. He was coaching Pete Carroll's team. He started to twist it into his team. As you see, let's make JSN the star. All right, Walker and Charbonnet, they're the guys. We trust Sam Darnold. And they've been rewarded for it. And I think they are going to win the Super Bowl, because the Patriots had home field advantage. They got Stidham in the snow yesterday. If they win, then we'll give them credit. But this is going to be a tougher task for the Patriots, in my opinion. I think Seattle are the right favorite. Cam Stewart, your Seattle Seahawks back in the Super Bowl. You have to be pretty happy.
I got to be honest, Gabe, it's shocking. Like, when I was sitting there, it was kind of like one of those, I guess that's how you feel when Michigan won and the Dodgers. Like, we haven't won the Super Bowl yet, but I'm just thinking, oh my God, this team's in the Super Bowl. Like, a lot of people projected them to be like last in that division. I'm going to tell you another thing too, Gabe. I'm one of those guys. When Sam Darnold came, I'm like, I don't know, can't we do a little bit better? But I'm telling you one thing, the drafting. First of all, Charles Cross on the offensive line, Gray Zabel, they got him in the first round. JSN has turned out to be one of the best receivers in the league. Emin Wura from South Carolina, an absolute killer. Witherspoon, they've done really, really well with key draft picks. And you said it, McDonald, those were the old guys. They bring in the new guys. I just can't believe it happened this quick, buddy. I'm so jacked for the Super Bowl, and I agree with the line. 4.5. I think if you like Seattle, you bet it, Gabe. I'm not sure if it's going to go down. I think it might even go up to like 5, 5.5. I don't think they want to post a 6.
I like the Seattle team coming into the year. I saw it. Like, I just sort of saw it in training camp. You can't fake things. You can, like, talk and you can say things that aren't true, but you can't fake, sort of like the Raptors right now. Like, you can't fake the energy that they have. Mm-hmm. And the positive vibes, and, you know, that they like each other. And, Mo, you could see it with Seattle as well.
Yeah.
That in camp, it really was coming together. Like, they were saying, like, yeah, the defense is flying to the ball. We've got great team chemistry. They were like, you know, it was a type of deal where players started to show up early for practice and stuff. It wasn't like a job. It was like they noticed. They were like, man, guys are showing up early and guys are hanging out after now. That wasn't the way in the past couple of years, right? They were like, all right, see, I'm out of here. We're done. Like, Union says I don't have to be here till 3. It's 3. I'm leaving. Right? Like, no, these guys are hanging around playing video games together after and stuff. Like, they actually like each other, the guys on the team, and they support each other. A bunch of young dudes, they support each other. It's not like, oh, I'm a backup or I'm on special teams. No, like, everybody's on the same page on that team, Mo, and you can tell.
You can tell that they were. And, you know, guys, when we had our conversation about the Seahawks in September, October, even November, we were saying, where did they get that win, right? They can't win at home, but they can win on the road. But then you kept on repeating, look, man, they're built to go anywhere, right? And obviously they had home field. They did what they had to do to get to the big game now. But you saw this team grow, right? The defense started to become mature and become not Legion of Boom 2.0, but their own version of what they want to be under Mike McDonald, right? And now here we are at this point where Sam Darnold defined the odds, right? Being the first quarterback from the class of 2018 to get to the Super Bowl and play in it. And the irony, guys, just thinking about it right now and thinking, Cam, to your point, think about the last 4 drafts for the Seahawks. I just did a quick count. I think there's 15 guys who either start or contribute in this season for the Seahawks. And think about it, though. They chose Jalen Milroe to perhaps be the heir apparent if Darnold didn't do well this season. So, really, this team has a lot of momentum and positive reinforcement coming in. And if you're a Seahawks fan like you are, Cam, I think you have a lot to be optimistic about in 2 weeks' time when they play the Patriots in Santa Clara.
I'm going
to
tell you too, Gabe, John Schneider, the GM has done a wicked job with this team. Like, he just, like, he's there, he's involved, but he doesn't get too involved. He lets McDonald do his thing. Very underrated. And Mo, like you said it, these draft picks, they've just been, and not just good draft picks, great. Like, Witherspoon's a killer. Emin Wurra is like, they really did their due diligence and they drafted really well.
Yep, absolutely. Think about Witherspoon and JSN, they were the first round picks 5 and 20 in 2023. Think about that year and all the guys in that draft board who were bust. They could have been top 5 picks, both those guys.
Excellent managerial decisions that were made, and including the McDonald hire as well, right? McDonald's just done a great job, and, you know, he's just dialed in. He's kind of Cignetti-like. He's just
he really prepared, is, Gabe. You look at him. You know? Look at his face. It's poker face 24-7. Like, he's just sitting there and, yeah, like, taking it all in.
He was happy after the game yesterday, but you could tell, like, he just wished that the Super Bowl was now. He was like, we're going to the Super Bowl. He
gave him a smiley.
Yes. I said, we're going to the Super Bowl. Like, we know, Coach. We're going to the Super Bowl.
I love this guy.
Yeah, we're going to the Super Bowl. Yeah, I know. We're going to the Super Bowl, Coach. Yeah.
He's the best.
Yeah, but he just kind of had that sort of like psychotic coach look. Like, yeah, let's get after it. Let's go.
He's got the look. You're right.
Got a little bit of Gruden in him a bit, too. Like, you know?
He's got those eyes, like, I'm going to kill you eyes. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I like McDonald.
You know, he's like, his speeches, he's more fired up, like, in behind closed doors, because he's a pretty fired up dude. So, yeah, great job by the Seahawks. A great job, speaking of great coaching jobs, Mike Vrabel. Like, Seattle, I'm not shocked by any of this. Like, I never thought Sam Darnold was as bad as people thought he was. I knew, like, Seattle were good, like, so I'm not shocked by Seattle. New England, I am. I've got to, like, say, okay, I'll admit, man, what's Mike Vrabel going to do? I admit, I said those exact words. I said, you know, Vrabel was with Tennessee. They didn't win there. Like, all these people thought Mike Vrabel. All right, I was wrong about that. And Drake May, I thought, was good. So I'm not surprised that Drake May has made plays. He's done what he had to do, Drake May. He hasn't had to win a game for them, right, in the playoffs at all. This is why it's going to be – this is going to be the first time where it's going to be like Seattle are going to score on them a bit, and this is going to be tough. This is going to be the toughest test that Drake May has seen so far in the playoffs by far. But you could say the same thing about Darnold. You're going to give 2 weeks now to Vrabel and this Patriot defense. But I do like Seattle in this spot. Should be an interesting game, though, right? It's not like, oh, it's kind of a boring game or whatnot. But no, it should be. It's an intriguing matchup. We have the Super Bowl angle, rematch angle from past years. As far as the tickets are concerned, it looks like the fact that the Seahawks made it bumped the price up, right? Now, the Patriots used to be a nightmare for ticket sellers in the Super Bowl because they were in the Super Bowl all the time, right? And people can't afford to, like, fly across the – you know, it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. You're going to spend, you know, $5,000, $8,000 on a ticket, and the hotels are even, like – that's what's crazy in San Francisco. The hotels are, like, $1,200 a night.
So, in Oakland.
Yeah, everywhere. Like, it's just – the hotels are, like, really crazy expensive there. I got lucky because I got an NFL media. I'm in the NFL media hotel, so which usually I'm not, but by chance, so it was $250 a night. Big difference, especially for San Francisco. I don't think it's ever $250 a night. Like, so basically, you're getting like cost price almost. Nice place too, a Hilton, but the tickets are up to like $8,000 now. And they were like 5,500, 6,000 yesterday. I looked after the Bronco game just so I like to check in and sort of monitor it. And I looked again after. I'm like, oh, my God. But Seahawks fans have money, and it's pretty close, right? So, like, think about it. If you're a Seahawks fan, you could really literally fly in Sunday if you wanted to, right? It's an hour and a half flight, whatever. Yeah. You could fly in Sunday morning, and you could leave after the game, or you could get a hotel for one day, or not even. You could drive in and drive out. Like, there's a lot of – And the Patriots, we're going to see. Like I said, will the modern Patriot fan go all the way to San Francisco for this? It's not cheap, man. Like, you throw them a ticket in the hotel, it's going to be like $15,000, $20,000 and stuff. So the casual fan can't afford that. Cam, what are you going to be doing for the Super Bowl?
Well, I'm going to be working at a bar, Gabe, cash deal, closing up one of the bars and opening up a super bar. So, yeah, kind of saying goodbye. Me and my old buddy Carlos, we're going to rip it up like we used to do with the horse book at Shoeless Joe's on King. I'm going up to Vaughn by the big spaceship there, and it's going to be a Super Bowl party. And interesting, the last time the Patriots were there, I think when we did it at that bar, the Eagles with Nick Foles, it was the old Philly special. So I'm hoping the same thing. I want to see the Patriots lose and get their asses kicked.
I remember that Super Bowl. I was doing a show in Montreal. That Super Bowl, and I remember I upset a bunch of like bikers in the bar somehow that day.
Patriot bikers?
Oh, yeah, man. I don't know. I upset somebody enough that the owner told me, "Listen, you got to go after." Like,
you got to go.
We're gonna put you through the back door and get out.
And I'll tell you, don't mess with bikers from Montreal. They're the ones you don't mess with.
No, trust me. I got the hell out of there after. Like, I was like, bye bye. Right, I better go. Yeah, like, yeah, it wasn't a place. It wasn't one of my normal places. I sort of got brought into a weird place, and yeah, it didn't go well.
I love it.
When you said that, I was like, yeah. I remember Clam Chowder was there. What? Not many people showed up, or there were a bunch of people there, but they were French and they didn't know who I was, and they were kind of like, "Why is this guy here yelling?" And like, yeah. It wasn't one of our best road rages. I'll tell you that.
It was a rage coming from the bikers.
Yeah, where was it? Where was it? It wasn't Jean Talon. I think it might have been by the racetrack. I don't know. Gonna say, I think it might have been by Blue Bonnets.
There's nothing around there, Gabe.
No, I know. That's what I was thinking. I'm like, no, where would it have been there? Like, it'll pop in my head. It was by the airport in some weird sort of like one of those sort of trucker bar airport type bars. Like,
oh boy,
yeah. It was like by that's where it was in the middle of nowhere. But so the Super Bowl is set, San Francisco. We will be there, but I won't be at the game. I'm leaving on Saturday. I'm just going to be there for a couple of days. I'll be there from like Tuesday afternoon until just till Saturday. So like I'll be at the media row the Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But I guess it sets up well because I've already got an interview with Sean Alexander for former Seattle.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
There it is. He does a lot of charity work, Gabe. Good guy.
He's going to become a trendy guy and a popular interview on media. You figure there'll be a bunch of former Niners walking around and stuff like that, too.
I'm sure there will be. Just bring some cigars, right? Or bring whatever you got to do to get these guys to come on your show, right? Something to attract these guys, right?
There's always, like, whatever the local team is, there's always a lot of the local legends. that show up and stuff. But I'm just going for a quick in and out. But it should be cool. Going to see a San Francisco Dons game against Loyola Marymount next Wednesday, actually. So I look forward. I'm looking forward to that as much as anything, to be honest with you. It's kind of a weird, you know, unique game, but they've got like a really cool old school, the War Memorial Arena. It's like really old school. Like Bill Russell played there and stuff, right? Like they won the national championship. What was it, 1955 with Bill Russell? So they, you know, they have that legacy and stuff like that. It's like a really old arena. So I'm really stoked to check that out. And the Warriors are playing too. I could go see the Warriors if I wanted to, but.
Didn't the Dons lose to Gonzaga on the weekend?
Yeah. I'm not, I've seen NBA games. Like, I'm not, like, so, like, oh, you know what I mean? I'd go. It's not like I'm anti going to the war. They're playing the Sixers on the Tuesday night. It's the only game of the week that they're there. But anytime there's, like, an NBA game in the Super Bowl city that week, it always is expensive because you've got a bunch of people that want to go to the game. They got nothing to do. They're, you know, visiting, oh, let's go to that game. Remember in L.A., they did it right in L.A. They had the Knicks there and stuff. Like, I remember when the Super Bowl was in L.A., the Lakers played, the Clippers played, like, the Kings played. Like, they really set it up. It was like, yeah, we've got a bunch of games. I was really surprised. Like, the Warriors are on the road. The Warriors play at home on Tuesday, and they go on the road. Like I said, so the San Francisco's Dons become the thing. And because of that, like, the Dons tickets are nearly sold out. Right, which I guarantee you, the Dons don't sell out Wednesday night games.
Correct me if I'm wrong, guys. Don't usually the host cities try to avoid having these pro teams play at the same time because they get lost, and then it sort of takes away from the attention of the big events. Because you're right, Gabe. I remember that the Knicks played L.A. right in 22, but usually these pro teams don't want to infringe on Super Bowl week.
It's a hotel issue.
Right.
It's a hotel issue, right? The hotels are all booked everywhere. So it's a bitch for teams. So, like, you'd rather have the team, like, you'd rather have, like, the hotel filled with 500 media types than the Philadelphia 76ers need the hotel for the night. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they all stay in the same hotels, like, downtown and stuff like that. So, like, they kind of ask the leagues, like, yeah, don't, like, try not to book a game, like, the same week because we need the hotels and we need the logistics, the room. Plus, if you're a team, too, it's a pain in the ass, right? Like, if you're a basketball team, you got to check through security and all that crap to get into, like the Lakers. Like, there's – you get to go in through the arena, but, like, there's traffic because of the Super Bowl and stuff. So I see why, like, they're, like – but on the opposite side, you look at Vegas, like, F1, they purposely now are booking the Raiders on F1 weekend. Because yeah. Everyone else gets killed. Nothing happens. Like, F1 shuts the city down and no one does well. So they're like, all right, we'll make sure the Raiders play. So, like, there'll actually be something, like, else besides the race going on. So speaking of basketball, and I said they got a magical run going right now. Hell of a road trip for the Toronto Raptors. They stumbled out of the gate. They lost a heartbreaker to the Clippers. They lost a close one to the Clippers on the road. They got smoked by the Lakers. They were flat against the Lakers. But then they bounced back, and they beat the Golden State Warriors. They beat the Sacramento Kings on back-to-back games. Then they take on a Portland Trailblazer team that's had the best record in the NBA in the month of January, 11-3. They beat the Blazers. And then they follow it up by beating the Oklahoma City Thunder. Right? Like, that's as good as it gets right now. They're the 3 seed in the East, flirting with the 2 seed right now. But, Mo, it's time to start taking this Toronto Raptor team seriously. We're going to see what they do over the next week and a half before the trade deadline approaches, or 2 weeks, whatever it is. It's coming up around the corner. I think it's the 10th, whatever.
Yep.
So, yeah, what is it, 10th? Yeah, whatever. It's a couple of weeks away.
It's here. The week of the Super Bowl week. I think it's a Thursday deadline day.
Actually, this will be the 5th, because there's last couple of Super Bowls. Always been a blockbuster deal that steals the Super Bowl headlines. I don't really want them to do too much, to be honest with you. Right? I mean, there's a lot of talk. Like, the Raptors are always, like, rumored and with everybody all the time. And I do think that I do believe that they do like Sabonis in Sacramento. So I could see that potentially happening, but I'm not in a hurry to trade RJ Barrett. And RJ Barrett's always in these rumors. Quickly's balling. I don't want to trade Quickly either. I would trade Poeltl. Like, he's the bad contract. He's the one that I would get rid of. But teams kind of know it and are like, all right, we'll take Poeltl, but you're going to have to throw somebody else in with this. So we'll see what the Raptors do. Do you believe that Bobby Webster, listen, he's got a good team. He's a Messiah disciple.
Yeah.
You know he's going to try to put a stamp and he's going to pull a deal. Everybody's expecting it. What's Bobby Webster's first real deal going to be?
Think about it this way, guys. In 2019, they pulled a big trade, right, to get Marc Gasol in there for Valanciunas. And that changed the dynamics of the team and they end up winning the Larry O.B., right? Thing is, right, in the East right now, it's open-ended. Sort of like the AFC in the NBA East this year. It's open-ended. Any of these teams, whether it's the Knicks, whether it is going to be the Raptors that can maybe make a run for glory here. But the thing is, you're right, Gabe. R.J. Barrett's entering the prime of his career. He wants to be in Toronto for many reasons why, being a local kid and all that. But it took a while. It took a while. And I wasn't a big fan of this whole Raptors operation, how they were kind of going south and kind of bumbling and trying to get the top-end pick. But here they are building up the depth that they've acquired through trades and through acquisitions and draft and whatnot here. And they're in that conversation, guys. I'm not saying they're going to go to the NBA Finals here, but they could go two, maybe three rounds if it really breaks their way. But if you're Bobby Webster, though, if you do this trade now, does this really hurt the dynamics of the chemistry going towards the final 2 months before we hit playoff basketball late April?
No, you're exactly right. I mean, everything is going, why break it up? Like, unless I get it, you look at the big picture, you want to make your team better, but don't do something for the sake of doing it, right? I'm almost glad. Ja Morant's injured now, so that's going to take that out of the equation. There's been that AD stuff, and I do think the Raptors do like Anthony Davis. I think they think it's worth the gamble and stuff. Right, but Anthony Davis, his contract is up. Like, I wouldn't have a problem just rolling the dice on AD if I wasn't on the hook for a ton of money with him, right? But he wants the contract extension, and the guy's always hurt, so he just can't do it. So if you want to bring some bonus in, fine, but I don't really see a need to do it right now. I would ride it out. Like I said, I let Bobby Webster do, you know, tweak it a bit. It's your team. I give you the benefit of the doubt, but you look at the way that they're playing, Cam, there's not really a need to, like, change things. They're getting better. They're growing together. Like, they're fine. Like, they're good the way that they are.
I love your point, Gabe. It is sometimes ruining things, and that's the whole thing. They got great team chemistry, right? Like, look at guys like Walter coming in. Like, look at the balanced scoring of this team. Like, it's unbelievable. Dick's playing better, too. Like, there's a lot of things to like about this Raptor team. You talked about it, man. Like, I got to tell you, Gabe, like, I'm watching these guys, like, Quickly was on fire, but look, Ingram 13, Barrett 14, all these guys. Have you ever seen a team that was this balanced and with guys coming in and just doing their damn job? When they lost to the Lakers on that road trip, you're thinking, uh-oh, and then to go 4-1 and to beat Oklahoma City? Like, these guys are the real deal. And the thing I like about the Raptors is they're grinders. Like, they're not prima donnas. Yeah. They got a lot of guys in the team that you really, really like. They're a likable team. And, hey, man, I'm down with it, Morenci. I don't mind the Sabonis move. I love what you're saying there, but I don't want to rock the boat with some stupid contract or stupid deal.
The way that they're playing right now, why?
Exactly.
Why break it up? I mean, listen, if you get Anthony Edwards, you get some superstar, sure, but just don't, like, for the sake of it, don't trade for, like, some name that you think, like, and give up, break up the chemistry of this team.
But, you know, Gabe, I'll say this, Gabe, right? Think about it this way. Maybe the Raptors don't make that trade now, but they might say, bleep it, let's go with what we have and see what they stack up in the playoffs. And if we get blown out in the first round or the second round, whatever it is,
exactly,
then we make that trade in the summertime and say, okay, you know what? This is the guy we need that can put us
exactly,
over the
top. I think the same way. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Let's ride through it and analyze and say, all right, this is what we were missing. This is where we got exposed. This is the one thing that we needed. Right. And give these guys a chance to step up. People don't realize it too. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but, like, the Raptors are like 18-7 now with RJ Barrett, and they're like 11-12 without him. I don't, like, at first you can, you know, I don't look much into these things. Like, all right, it's just, it's an anomaly or whatnot. But, like, nah, when you play that many games, there's something to it, right? There's something to it. RJ Barrett is a good defender, and he's their best player in transition. Like, he really, their transitional offense and defense is much better when R.J. Barrett is there. They run the floor. They get after it. Like, there's just, they're a different team when he's on the court. Like, just they're fundamentally sounder when he's on the court. Listen, I've always been a hardcore Raptor fan watching the team the other night, and I was thinking, you know, they don't really have any superstars, but they just have a bunch of really good players, right? Like, the NBA is always like, yeah, we got a star or two, and we got a bunch of other guys. The Raptors, it's like, no, man, we got seven guys that'll exactly. get in your face, man.
Yeah.
And like I said, I watched them all. And the other night I was watching that was on in Seattle, Portland area, the game. They're showing a lot of Blazers games. They don't have the Seahawks and stuff. So, like, the Blazers are pushing themselves to the team of the Northwest now. Sacrilegious, but even in Seattle, they're like, you know what I mean? They're like, hop on board. You guys don't have a team. So, like, you
know. Until 2030. Until 2030, we'll come back.
Yeah, like, you're basically saying, you know, we're the Pacific Northwest team. So, you know, like it or not. But, yeah, so local Seattle, they show, like, two Blazer games a week type thing. It's pretty cool, actually. And, so I watched, you know, they had the Raptors. I just wanted to, you know, get a different perspective from Devlin and Armstrong. And, like, hearing the Portland guys talk about the Raptors, they were freaked out. They were like, I never realized how good this team was. Like, they admitted it. Like, both, like, all the crew. They're like, you know, we don't really see the Raptors ever. And they were like, damn, this team is good, good. They were like, this team is, like, championship. They were like, wow, this team is good, good. And the play-by-play guy said, I don't know if there's a longer team in the NBA than these guys. Like, they were, and the Raptors are just causing all kinds of chaos with turnovers and stuff. That's the thing with the Raptors. It's finally worked, Mo. Like you said, it used to bother me, too. It's like, yeah, we have good players, but you keep drafting the same player over and over and over all the time. Like, Murray Boyles is Scotty Barnes. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, you keep drafting these athletic guys that are two-way guys, but they're all the same. And we have a team of all the same guys. And it used to really bother me, but it's kind of like worked. Ingram was the difference, Cam. Ingram was the one guy not like those guys. Exactly. Offensive-minded. And we always talked about it. When you have a bunch of guys, it's all cool until there's 2 minutes left and nobody can take the shot. Right? The Raptors mm-hmm. just accepted it. Ingram takes the shot. Right? Like, you see when there's 20 seconds left, boom, they get the ball to Ingram and bam, he pops it. He knows his role. Everyone else accepts it. Like, they're, and the coach too. Their coach is just awesome. Right. Yeah. Guys coaching during games, like literally and figuratively and stuff.
Like, I love them. Yeah. Gabe. I think the Raptors, like, when you look at them though, like, the thing I look is like Shed, like in Houston, he's just an animal. Like, these guys have motors. Like, you watch some other teams in the NBA, you're like, yeah, they're slacking off a little bit. Like, the Raptors work their asses off. They got good team chemistry. You said it, Gabe.
You're bang on, but the Raptors have always sort of done that where they outwork you. They try hard every night, and they don't do the load management stuff. So they outwork you, but then they get to the playoffs, and you need star power in the playoffs. You can't outwork teams in the playoffs. It doesn't work.
No.
Right? You know what I mean, Mo? No. You need that extra.
100%.
But I think they have it now with Ingram. They've got a guy that can drop 25 in a playoff game, and everyone else can score 17, 18, will be fine.
Just to show you the Raptors and how they're now on the national radar, right? Remember, ESPN decided to pick up the Magic Raptor game on Friday coming up, and then Amazon Prime has the Bulls Raptors game on February 5th. So you know
the Raptors actually got flexed into prime time for the first time,
right? Yeah. And they're gonna get more of these national games. And Gabe, to your point, hearing the Blazers broadcast team, if the Raptors continue to excel, you're gonna hear more of the national media talk about the Raptors, and that's where it builds up momentum of talking about. Could they upend the Pistons or beat the Cavs or Celtics or Knicks in rounds one or two and be that team? So that's why it's positive aura, but they have to be patient about this and not jump the gun, making a trade or two to make themselves win now than for the future being a perennial contender.
Yeah, don't do anything reckless. Exactly. But I don't think they will. I don't think they will. And then on the college side of things, we've got ourselves a big week of college basketball this week. Now these teams are going to start to have to play each other, and it gets real as the Nebraska Cornhuskers. It's an unbelievable story. I mean, Nebraska have moved up to number 5. They're ranked 5th in the AP poll coming into the week. They're 20-0, and they're 9-0 in Big Ten play. That's what's amazing to me. 9-0 in Big Ten play. They play their biggest game of the year tomorrow at Michigan. So UConn have passed Michigan. Michigan are ranked 3rd in the country. It's pretty wild. I don't know what you got to do to get some respect. But Arizona ranked number 1, UConn 2, Michigan 3, Duke 4, Nebraska 5, Gonzaga 6, Michigan State 7, Iowa State 8. Big win for Illinois over the weekend. Kid went off for like 46. Houston Cougars ranked 10th, Texas Tech 11th. Man, there's some good teams. Like
That's a good game though. Texas Tech and Houston on the weekend.
Yeah,
fun game to watch.
Back and forth game. We ended up getting it done. But what's your pick, Mo? Does Nebraska stay undefeated and beat Michigan in Michigan?
First off, the line's pretty expensive. 10.5, I believe it is now. I think it's 10.5, Gabe, if I stand correct on that. I think Michigan beats them. You know, Nebraska, they're going to be probably a three-round tournament team when it comes to March into April. But I just think Michigan now, how they've been built up the last couple of years under the new regime or second-year regime, they have it packed, the perfect recipe of players and depth to work with. So I think Michigan takes out Nebraska on Tuesday night at Ann Arbor.
It was 11.5 sitting at 10.5 right now. So you got a 20-0 team, Cam, getting 10.5 points.
That's crazy. But Michigan, you know what? You talk about the home court game, and Nebraska is good. It is a lot of points, but I'm with Mo on this one. Like, I don't know. You could put them in some parlays, but if Michigan goes into Ann Arbor and beats the Wolverines, I'll be shocked. I'll be slack-jawed. I think Michigan's going to show them we're better than you. We're at home. That's why the spread's so big. Who's going to beat Arizona? That's the question.
Thing is, with the spread,
they got BYU tonight. No.
Yeah, that's a good game.
That's going to be a great game tonight.
At BYU.
Arizona will stumble eventually. Arizona at BYU, that could be tonight. BYU getting 1.5 tonight. Like I said, some big-time games. You got Louisville and Duke tonight as well in top 25 action. One thing with Michigan is they're overpriced. The odds makers have completely caught up to them. So they always win right by whatever the number is. Just point blank. Whatever the point spread is, that's what Michigan's going to win by.
Right.
Like they've got it like nailed down right now. Like, what are they? They're now 0-6 against the spread of their last six games, Michigan.
Well, that's rough.
But what about Illinois?
They've won 5 of the 6 of them, right? But if they're favored by 16, they win by 14. They're favored by 12, they win by 11. Like, it's just one of those. They don't care about covering, but the odds makers have figured them out. Like, the odds makers have really, they've got Michigan to a T. And the totals, Michigan are another sort of like blind under now because the other team doesn't score enough to get there ever. Like, so their games are kind of predictable. I just don't like betting against them, but I could see Michigan winning by 9 tomorrow or something like that. As far as Illinois, every year, Mo, we talk a lot of college basketball with people throughout the week and stuff, and people always hype Illinois up. And
they had a big road win against Purdue, man.
Julio loves Illinois, Gabe.
Yeah, but like, it's funny because outsiders, though, like, think Brad Underwood's this great coach, but people in Illinois get mad and think Illinois are underachievers. And I kind of with them. I'm like, yeah, we hear this every year that Illinois are good, and they always choke. But this could be different. They've got a bunch of really good young players, man. And, like, their young guys are kind of tough. They got a bunch of European dudes on their team. Like, they're not like American teenagers out of high school and stuff. You're almost dealing with
Wagner's good, man. Wagner's the truth out there, man.
Yeah.
And they got Nebraska, I believe, on the weekend coming up, too. So that's a big one.
No, they're the real deal. The Big Ten is good this year. Michigan, Nebraska, Michigan State, Illinois, Purdue. They might be able to actually snap the streak. The Big Ten hasn't won since 2002.
Since Michigan State, if I stand correct.
Yeah,
on that.
That's a long time.
But you know what? Here's the thing for Illinois, right? You know, they'll get Nebraska on the weekend, and they'll get Michigan State the following Saturday. So we'll know if they're, to your point, Gabe, about whether or not they're real or not, we'll know if they'll be in that conversation of being a top two, if not top three seed in the region that they're going to be in come March Madness time.
And Cam, the Toronto Maple Leafs, things are not going well. This has been a very bad week.
Yeah.
I think it's symbolic if you just look at Craig Berube's face. That's Leafs right now.
The guy looked like Frankenstein. You see, like, that was unreal. Like, stitches, black eyes. Like,
lose the game to the Red Wings. The Red Wings was the most important one because that's the division, the conference, and all that. So you lose to the Red Wings. You lose
Vegas
again to Vegas again. And then you turn around and you lose to Colorado. It's like, this is not a good run right now. Like, the playoffs are starting to slip again.
And not just that, Gabe, it's the way they're losing. The Detroit game was different. Like, there's a little bit of a weird play in overtime there. You know, defensemen got off balance. Detroit scores, they win. They get a point there. But they were lackluster against Vegas in a game you think they'd show up when Mitch Marner comes to town. They played like junk. And then Colorado jumps on them 3-0. Like, that's unacceptable. I know these teams are very good. But, yeah, the Leafs got a real problem. They got a talent problem. They got a work ethic problem. The Buffalo Sabres are the team of the region, buddy. They beat the Islanders 5-0 again. These guys are on fire.
They're playing well, man. They literally did BTA to the Habs last week. Even though they won by 3-2, they outplayed the Habs.
The Islanders are one of the hottest teams, Mo. They kicked the crap out of them.
They're good, man.
They're playing great.
But to your point, though, with Berube, he looks like an old-school WWF wrestler that was at an indie event in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in a hardcore match at age, like, 55.
So that's what he looked like. Looking at the updated standings, Red Wings, Lightning, and the Sabres are playing themselves into this. Sabres have played themselves out of a wild card spot now. Red Wings have 69 points, Lightning 68, Buffalo 5 points back. Looking at the wild card, Montreal hanging on to the top wild card spot, the Boston Bruins with the second wild card spot right now, 63 and 62 points respectively. Florida Panthers, 3 points out of the playoffs right now. And the Toronto Maple Leafs are now 5 points out. The Leafs have 57 points. So it's not the end of the world for the Leafs, Cam, but it's not good. It's not good.
They don't win games like, you know, when they step up in class. Like, you know what I mean? You're playing Colorado, you get your asses kicked. You're playing Vegas in a game where you should be pumped and you lose. Like,
no, sure, they lose the gut check games all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The games.
I was wrong. You told me I thought they'd show some damn guts against Mitch Marner and them, and Vegas just says, screw you guys.
Do nothing with 5 minutes in.
Oh, it's a joke.
It's like right away. Like,
here we go. Here come the Leafs. Yeah. No, it's frustrating. I got to tell you, Gabe, it's the depth on the team, too. Sometimes the work ethic, you talk about leadership. It's tough. You know, like Tavares is getting older. You just watch them play and you just watch other teams. They're fast. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the Leafs are just missing something. And
But to your point, Cam, right? Yep. Think about it now, right? In the division alone, Detroit, Buffalo, Montreal all took their licks the last 4 or 5 years. Now they're starting to get into that, you know, mode of we're into the prime of our careers or entering in the prime of our careers, whatever you want to use that. Whereas the Leafs were in the prime for like the last 5 years. And now they've been surpassed by these teams, right? And I think if you're the Leafs right now, I don't know what you can do with 5 games before the Olympic break. But that division is the group of death right now with how it's been played out so far in all from top to bottom, from Detroit right down to Ottawa.
And the Vancouver Canucks have had a nice run where they're starting to distance themselves a little bit now from the rest of the league.
smart.
it's like they're all the way down to 39 right now. The closest one is 47.
The only with a fifth pick in the draft.
Like, I would just keep trading. I would just keep trading if I was the Canucks. Pettersson will be next. Pettersson's going to be trickier because he makes a lot of money. But I think Carolina have always wanted him. That's my prediction. Carolina will pick up Pettersson post-Olympics coming out of the Olympics.
He almost feels like a hurricane, you know?
He'll be perfect there. No pressure, just sort of fly under the radar. Good player. You know what I mean? He can just sort of do his thing. Listen, there's no point in playing someone $11 million to play for the Vancouver Canucks right now.
Exactly.
Like, it's a miserable organization.
There's no, like, why do it? Like, you want to be bad anyways. Get the number one pick of the draft, just point blank. Their pick last year in the draft was really good. The kid's really good. You got him. You got the Byam kid, who's really good. You start to stack it up a little bit. You bring in Frondell or Gavin McKenna, right? Suddenly you got a little excitement, and you suck again. You got to build it. Like you said, Mo, you look at San Jose Sharks, all these teams.
I think the Jets should do the same thing as Vancouver, too. They're another team. All their stars are, like, aging.
Yeah, if I was the Jets, I don't care. I wouldn't really trade everybody, but – if I was the Jets, I'd almost pull like this. Yeah, listen, this year's an anomaly. We're really good. Let's not make the playoffs this year. Exactly. Yes. Let's just sort of
get
like,
a high-end pick.
Yeah,
get
figure a big-time draft pick, tweak the team a bit going into next year, except they got a bunch of vets that want to win, right? And they're winning too much now. They've played themselves back in it.
But the thing is, guys,
they got 47 points. They're behind the Blackhawks, like the Predators are up there. And you know how hard it is to jump.
Exactly.
You know,
but the thing is, the Jets, though, guys, think about it this way. Even when they were running the league in the West last year, right, there was apathy towards the fans, right? The fans didn't show up.
You just nailed it, Mo. They need to sell tickets.
Yes.
You're right. If they won't sell tickets.
100% they won't, right? And the Chipman family are one of the richest families in North America. How do they justify we're going to tank him to get a McKenna or where, you know, where
and you
we
see
get
it in the
point.
Press conferences, but like Arneil wants to lose his mind, basically, like to your point, where you watch other coaches, they pretend, we got to do like he when I'm watching this guy, it looks like he's going to have a conniption, like he's pissed. What are these guys doing? They did, do they work? It was pathetic. man, that was a junk performance. Like, he was just like, this guy's railing on his teams in press conferences. Like, you know, you're right, Gabe and Mo. It's about selling tickets. People in Manitoba, they love this team, but man, that team's not very good.
No, you know what? They charge a lot for the team in there too. They charge a lot for the prices. Like, the tickets are not cheap. Like, you figure out Winnipeg, smaller market. No. They gouge the fans knowing
they have to, right?
Yeah. They have no choice.
Biggest game in town. Yep.
Yeah. There's no other team there. Like, you got the Bombers. That's it. And the Bombers ain't
playing. They don't impact them at all. You know?
No. So, exactly. Like, they got the city. They got the fans by the balls. So, they charge a lot. But, yeah, you're right, though. That's it. Fans stop going in Winnipeg. Like, they won't automatically go, right? They get frustrated. That'll happen with the Leafs, right? Where you'll see apathy with the Leafs, where it's just the first time it's kicking in. There's empty seats.
You know what, Gabe? I'm starting to feel the vibe. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's those old school guys and stuff like that. They'll always be there. But, you know, that generation of fans, like under 50.
Yeah,
like
people
that,
are fed up.
Yeah. Trust me. I talk to people all the time. They're like, screw the Leafs. Put the Raptors game on all the TVs. Don't care. Yeah. Like, things have changed. Like,
older Leaf fans are worn out and kind of see that it's not even getting better. It's getting worse.
Yep.
So, and quite frankly, the younger fans just don't care. They're like, they never win. I'm not even like, a lot of them don't even like them. They're like, I don't follow them. You know what I mean?
And the worst part is for Sportsnet, they need the Leafs in there just for TV eyeballs. Let's be real, right? You're going to have who? The Habs probably making the playoffs. Who else from Canada? Edmonton. And maybe that's
Ottawa.
It. Ottawa. And they're on the outside looking in, right?
Yeah, so, there's Ottawa.
Yeah, you're right. We might only have a couple Canadian teams in the playoffs.
Yeah. So, and the Leafs, and look, you guys know, we all know, right?
No, Ottawa's got big problems too. They're not making the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, no, see, we got problems. Everybody, yeah, they got problems.
But look, Leafs, Cowboys, Lakers, etc. Those are the teams you want in because those are must-see series, right? Because you want to see them lose, whether it's round one or round two. That's why they need them in there. And I think it's going to be tough for the Leafs to get in there, guys. I don't know what they can do, but they just look old.
The thing is, this Olympic break is creeping up pretty quick. And if you keep on losing games, that gap will be too big. Gabe and I talk about it, Mo. You got to win games in regulation. It's not easy to do. Games are tied late. Teams just play that are ahead of you. They play for the tie.
Yeah, everybody's going to play for the tie. Give me the point. Right. No one's coming back from like big distance. The West is still kind of jumbled. I don't really believe in Chicago. Nashville will fade. Seattle will fade. Right. So, you know, San Jose are hanging on to a playoff spot now. That'll be a battle, like San Jose, LA, Seattle, Kraken, and Utah, and all that type of stuff. The West is super competitive. All right, we'll wrap it up with Mo. Saturday night was a Saturday night main event.
Yep.
In Montreal. Man, how about TKO? I have the company. They've got the UFC going live in Vegas, and they had wrestling going on live in Montreal, just raking in the money, this company. So how was the event in Montreal? What was the main event?
Well, I got to take home the chair. With me. So I had the chair. I still know where to put in my man cave right now. I'm trying to figure out what to do with the chair. But they had they had to come up big because they're going to Saudi Arabia next week for Royal Rumble. They're in Toronto tonight for Monday Night Raw, actually. Cam's going to head on by Scotiabank. But
still hung over from the Seahawks game.
Yeah, yeah. He might shovel your way to the arena right now. But honestly, guys, this is a big week for WWE because this is now the lead up towards WrestleMania in 3 months. So it was a banger. You talk about Jacob Fatu and Cody Rhodes leading off the night. They had a brawl throughout the entire Bell Center. They had a fatal four-way at the end with Sami Zayn, one local Montrealer. It wasn't many matches. I think there was four matches total, but it was just end-to-end action, and it created a good vibe for those WWE fans to say, let's watch Raw tonight, and then now we go to Saudi Arabia for a Royal Rumble on Saturday afternoon.
Sami likes to wear the Habs jersey.
Who's going to be in the WrestleMania? Who's the big storyline this
but
year?
That's the thing. No one knows, right? Because there's all these rumors. It was going to be Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes, but that got squashed because the fan resentment towards Cody Rhodes not being a mega superstar. Apparently, they're going to save The Rock for Saudi Arabia for next WrestleMania in 2027. So really, I think we'll know by Saturday, but really it's going to take a little bit of time to shape up here, but they have to hit this main event because last year's main event was mundane. And fans weren't happy about how that ending played out. So they had to come up with a big pop going back to the U.S. after Saudi Arabia next weekend.
Yeah, a little pressure on Triple H and company. But Mo says the vibes were good and the momentum is good going into to Monday Night Raw. All right, Cam's feeling it. I figured you would be, Cam, after the game yesterday. Some celebrations.
I spent, I went over to my dad's place for a while, and then I'm like, I got to go hit the bar. My buddy was there, and whatever, the shots get flowing. That's the thing, Marenzi. I could drink beers till the cow come home. Like, you know what, Brian Burke, beer ain't drinking. But once these guys roll out a million shots, that's when things get weird. But thank God the Seahawks won.
Yeah, at least you won. You feel the pain.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. If they lost, I'd be racist. Yeah, you're right.
I woke up last week with a hangover and a Buffalo Bills loss.
Yeah, see, that sucks. And I'm used to that with the Leafs and other teams that I cheer for.
By the way, guys, breaking news in the NFL.
Yeah.
Shador Sanders, Pro Bowler now. Well-deserved. Well-deserved.
That's amazing. Wow. It kind of goes to show what a joke the Pro Bowl is.
It really is.
But who would have thought a Pro Bowler in the first year?
fifth round to Pro Bowl. What a
lot of people are eating. But the Pro Bowl, like, it used to mean something. Oh yeah, four-time Pro Bowl.
This game has been butchered, Brenty. We talked about this for a while. Like, it's just like, what are these guys doing with this new Pro Bowl? It sucks compared to what it used to be.
Mo, what's your prediction for the Bills head coach? We'll wrap it up with that. Who do you think the coach is going to be?
I think it's going to be Kubiak. I hope the Raiders can pull off the smash or grab and get Kubiak. The Bills have to get their right hire, Gabe. They have to hit a home run. They can't be a single, and the fans are like, what the bleep? So I think Kubiak will be the guy, but again, I'm just curious to see how they approach it these next week or so, because Kubiak has this week to interview with the Raiders and the Bills, and afterwards he's locked down. We'll know by Super Bowl Sunday who the head coach will be, but I think it will be Kubiak from the Bills.
Updated odds right now for the Bills' next head coaching position. Brian Daboll, plus 150. Davis Webb, plus 250. Grant Udinski, plus 400. Clint Kubiak, plus 500. Joe Brady, 10-1. Anthony Lynn, 33-1. And I think, like I said, I think Daboll is their fallback, sort of. Like, we know him, and if no one else knocks it out of the park, Josh Allen has a big say on this. The fact that Kubiak's going to the Super Bowl and could win the Super Bowl, I think, probably gets him the job. And the fact that they haven't hired anyone yet kind of tells me that they're thinking they want to get Kubiak. So from a betting perspective, I'm going to say Kubiak. I said it last week at plus 600. Now he's plus 500.
So Davis Webb will be a wild card.
He's definitely in the mix. Yeah. Josh Allen supposedly is a big Davis Webb.
Yeah, that's going to be the wild card.
So there's the coaches. And my prediction is that McDermott will get the Arizona job.
They're interviewing Mike LaFleur today, I believe.
Yeah, he's become the favorite. No one wants it. So we'll see. Like, they've had, like, people have been very cold about it. Like, I don't even really want to interview with you. I'm not interested. So we'll see. LaFleur's the favorite right now. Supposedly, McDermott thought he could do better than Arizona. Which, if I'm you, McDermott, I'd just grab any job I could, bro. Like, I wouldn't think that.
I think that's actually a good type of job, because you could, if you do better and you build it, because there's been so many disappointments, you'll look even better. Don't you think?
Yeah. And it wouldn't be pressure on you.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. So, like I said, I guess he figures maybe sit it out a year and get into the next coaching cycle. He will get hired. He's won a lot of games, right? There'll be a bad team that, like, will be desperate that needs a coach. So, there's the updated Buffalo Bills coaching odds. We'll catch you on the grid Monday night. Thanks, Mo.
Thank you.
And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.